National interest this week returns to its staple, which is hard national politics, cruel take no prisoners. But before I get there, let me come to you with something else. Word of gratitude, for the past couple of months, we've been making appeals to you to take voluntary subscriptions, voluntary paid subscriptions to the print.in, appealing to your good sense, appealing also to the stake you have in good journalism, good non-hyphenated journalism at a time when there is so much noise, you can't tell news from noise, and very often the stuff you see in several media platforms actually embarrasses us. So in such a period, the only way to make good journalism survive and grow is that good people should pay for it. So thank you very much. Several of you, very many of you have done it, but it's not enough. There are many more of you out there, good people, who should also contribute and take subscriptions. There is no compulsion, but if you take a voluntary subscription, we will compensate you in other ways as well. We will give you a bunch of newsletters every week, including one curated by me on Sundays, and increasingly we will be adding more subscriber benefits. So all the buttons, etc., are there, and prompts are there. All of you are more tech savvy than me, so you know how to go there and how to press it and how to make your payment. It'll take you a few seconds, so please do that. Having done that, let me come back to politics. Now, there is no particular date for doing this, except that this week's argument comes from my bird's eye view of national politics. Now, in 1998, 22 years ago, L.K. Advani founded National Democratic Alliance, NDA. Why did he do that? He did that because he found that BJP by itself could not come into power. In 1996, they set up a government that was defeated in 13 days. So he had to get other parties together. So in 1998, May, he got 29 parties together with BJP at the core and built this NDA. This NDA came to power in 98 and also then laid the foundations of coalition politics in India. After a few hiccups, this led to three coalition governments completing their full term in India. Not just that, one of those actually got two consecutive terms, so it got re-elected, UPA. So that coalition era was launched by L.K. Advani in 1998. What we are saying right now, when we look at the national political scenario, is that his pupils, that is Narendra Modi and Amit Shah, after all, they were bachas when Advani was setting up this party, these two have now completely dismantled the NDA that Advani had founded. So you might have had a 29-party NDA in 1998. Even today, notionally, there'd be a 15-party NDA. But look at this cabinet. This is in this Modi cabinet. There is only one other member. In fact, not even in the cabinet. I have to look at the entire council of ministers, which includes junior ministers who don't have cabinet status. In that entire lot, there is only one person who is not from the BJP and who somehow gives you a notional idea that this is still a coalition government. And if you can't guess his name, don't feel embarrassed, because he's not such an important minister. And I will save you the trouble of Googling. His name is Ramdas Athavale. Ramdas Athavale is the leader of a Republican Party faction named what else but after himself. And he sometimes makes the news and headlines when he makes a viral worthy statement. Almost anything he says in public is bound to go viral. So that is how we know him. He is the only one. So I compare him a little bit with, it's a bit naughty, I compare him a little bit with the Muslim driver of L.K. Advani's Rath during his Rath Yatra to prove his secular commitment. Because anytime you asked Advani, but you know, you don't like Muslims, do you like Muslims? Arey bhai, the driver of my Rath is a Muslim. So he is a symbolic representative of coalition culture. Coalition culture is now over. Now, what do we compare this with? If you look at our old Hindu Vedic tradition, we know about Ashwamedh Yagya. Ashwamedh Yagya, a big powerful ruler who wanted to declare his sovereignty over a large empire, all of Bharatvarsh, would send a horse with a bunch of warriors, द हॉर्स विल गो फ्रॉम किंगडम टू किंगडम अक्रॉस द कंट्री, जिसकी हिम्मत हो उसको रोक लो, हुएवर डेयर टू स्टॉप द हॉर्स वुड हैव टू फाइट द सॉवरेन्स वॉरियर्स, इफ यू विन इट्स फाइन, इफ यू लूज देन यू बिकम ए वैसाल. सो लाइक दैट लुक एट द वे द BJP has grown under Modi and Shah. It is a kind of Ashwamedh Yagya. So now they have conquered almost all of India. Having done that, what used to happen in our Vedic tradition with the Ashwamedh Yagya, with the horse of Ashwamedh Yagya? Once the Yagya was concluded successfully, the horse was sacrificed. So think of NDA as the horse of the Kali Yuga, sacrificial horse of the Kali Yuga, in the BJP's Ashwamedha. Don't judge it, don't sit in judgment. Politics is politics. Politics is not about being the Mr. Nice Guy. And I take you back to a statement that famously Om Prakash Chatala, former Chief Minister of Haryana, who's now been in jail for some time for corruption, he once made to me in an interview when I asked him about something, that why do you do such things? And he said, Bhai Sahab, in fact, he said, Gupta ji, हम राजनीति करने आए हैं, हम तीर्थ यात्रा करने नहीं आए. वी हैवंट कम फॉर ए पिलग्रिमेज, वी कम टू डू पॉलिटिक्स. एंड ही सेड राजनीति सत्ता के लिए होती है, पॉलिटिक्स इज डन फॉर पावर. सो मोदी शाह आर ए फुल्ली पॉलिटिकल गवर्नमेंट, दे आर ए फुल्ली पॉलिटिकल फॉर्मुलेशन. एंड यू कांट होल्ड देम टू एनी गिल्ट फॉर दैट, बिकॉज लाइफ इज अबाउट पॉलिटिक्स फॉर दीज पीपल. एंड इन एनी केस, वंस यू आर इन द पावर गेम, यू आर इन द पावर गेम. सो एवरीथिंग दिस गवर्नमेंट डज is informed by politics, even economics. It's a little aside, but even economics, if you look at that. See, RBI is now not cutting the rates, although our growth has gone so far into the negative. Everybody keeps saying this government should provide the economy a fiscal stimulus. This government is not doing it. Why? Because they are afraid that if they do any of that, then inflation will go up and that will affect the really poor, who are their voters. So the choice between growth and inflation is very easily made, because that's politics. Now, how do you fill up the government's deficits? Government doesn't go bankrupt. Keep raising taxes on fuel, on petroleum fuel, that is petrol and diesel. Why? Because vehicles are mostly owned by middle classes, upper classes, lower middle classes. That vote, particularly the Hindu middle class vote, which is most of the middle class vote, is in the BJP's vault. It's locked up anyway, so they don't have to worry about it. So they will never take a risk that is political in nature, whether it's to do with the economy or it's to do with any strategic decision making. That's why this government, and I compliment them for it, will not go to war with China, no matter what the provocation, until the Chinese start it. Unlike, say, Jawaharlal Nehru, who 1962 had allowed himself to be pushed into a war that he was always destined to lose. Now, don't think that I'm talking about only the past. We are talking about the future, and we are looking at the shape of things to come. We are also trying to chart sort of the roadmap for national politics going ahead up to 2024 and beyond. Past is a guide to the future. So, unlike what mutual fund advertisements say, past performance is not a guide to the future. In politics, it is. Because you have to go back to Vajpayee Advani's first cabinet and first formulation. If you go to that formulation, see who were the cabinet members then. I will count the names, and I don't have to describe to you what happened with each one of them, although I'll say it briefly, but you know that. There was Mamata Banerjee, key minister. Where is she now? She is the key rival of the BJP. BJP is fighting a take no prisoners war against her in West Bengal. There was George Fernandes, defense minister. The last time a coalition partner held a cabinet portfolio which put him in the cabinet committee on security, not since then. His colleague, sometimes a frenemy, but his comrade, was Nitish Kumar, also railway, agriculture minister, key ministries. So Nitish Fernandes had key ministries. Even Telugu Desam Party, Chandrababu Naidu's, had the prestigious position of the Speaker of Lok Sabha. Balyogi was there. Then there was Ram Vilas Paswan, who had key ministries. There was Suresh Prabhu from Shiv Sena, who had key ministries, power, environment, etc., etc. There was Naveen Patnaik, again important ministries. So all these local, regional satraps had important ministries in that cabinet. Even the Dravid parties, DMK and ADMK, alternately had key cabinet positions. Today they are all out. All right, you can say then the BJP only won 182 seats and the rest was brought in by allies, so they had leverage. Now BJP has won 303, but that is not the whole story. And that is not the story that guides us to the future. What guides us to the future is what's happening to each one of these people. So Nitish, somebody who's still in the NDA, Nitish is now punch drunk and fading. He has no member in the national cabinet. It may be his choice, I don't know, but I'm not sure. Okay, I might know something, but I'm not sure. But he is now fading. You can see that this vote in Bihar is being sought in Narendra Modi's name, and BJP is driving his party. He is now that Ashwamedh horse's equivalent for the BJP in Bihar. Everybody knows this is his last election. In any case, by the end of this term, which he is likely to get, if he gets it, he will be too old in the BJP scheme of things to hold a big public office for long. So he will then be over. So BJP knows that once he goes, they will move into his space. He does not have a successor, either in the family or in the party. Ditto for Naveen Patnaik. Go to the other end. Naveen Patnaik, no successor in the party, no successor in the family, and he is a dynast. So BJP knows right now they are not giving him too much trouble, but as you can see from the last national election, BJP is growing into Odisha. The Congress isn't coming back. So BJP is now becoming the preeminent national party in Odisha, as it has become in West Bengal. And they are waiting for the next election, 2024, by which time Naveen Patnaik, who is not in the pink of health anyway, will be declining greatly. And you can imagine, and I can tell you the playbook, we all know the playbook. If the election is in 2024, then sometime in early 2023, a couple of dissidents will arise from BJD. They will make a few allegations against the government, corruption allegations, and the ED and CBI will walk in, and then the friendly news channels and the friendly sections of the national media will make a big deal out of it, and it will become impossible for a lonely chief minister, even if it's popular and even if his health is all right by then, it will become nearly impossible for him to fight back against the might of this big juggernaut coming in from Delhi. I know, I'm conscious that I'm using the term juggernaut while talking about Odisha, the state of the Jagannath temple and the original juggernaut or the Jagannath Yatra. So that is where Naveen Patnaik is. Then look at Andhra and Telangana. BJP earlier was friendly with KCR in Telangana. Now they are attacking KCR and his party in Telangana. In fact, two of their former leaders from Telangana have now been elevated to high positions in the BJP. So once again for KCR, the objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they seem. Then see Andhra, once again a key battleground state for India. In Andhra, Chandrababu Naidu is in trouble. He was an ally of the BJP, now he's nowhere. But YSR Jagan Mohan Reddy, who won a huge victory defeating Naidu, he is one step away from big trouble, and the key to his survival lies with the BJP because they control ED and CBI. In desperation, Jagan has launched this war against the judiciary, but once again his fate in that war will also be controlled by the central government. So central government has him where they want him to be. And if you then look at the larger map of India, you know that this Modi Shah BJP, one, it has 303. It is now more powerful than the Congress party even before Rajiv Gandhi was under anybody, even under Indira Gandhi, forget the emergency. This kind of sway, no party has had that to under one leader. or at least you will compare this favorably with Indira Gandhi's government of 1980-84 in terms of its clout nationally. So that is how the big political equation in the country has changed. Now, we said early on that politics is warfare, and politics actually is the cruelest form of warfare without taking any life, usually not taking any life. Now, you have a situation whereby every former ally of the BJP who helped bring it to this preeminence is either defeated or on the other side or finished. In fact, if you take the names of all the 29 parties which joined the original coalition, some of those will sound like spelling mistakes today. So unfamiliar. In fact, if I list all the abbreviations of those parties, even the UPSC topper of this year will not find it easy to crack that. Having said that, that's the way politics is. Now, you may like it, you may not like it. This is democracy. After all, more than 50% people of India still did not vote for the Modi government, even when it was NDA in the summer of 2019. So if you like it, good for you. If you don't like it, either you lump it or you have to then also settle down for a long innings as Advani did in 1998, because you cannot defeat this power now with tweets that go viral. You have to do a lot more that for much longer than you might imagine today. And would Advani be unhappy that his dream, his NDA has been demolished? I don't think so. Advani is around, go ask him. I think he'll be quite satisfied and happy that the operation he started, or that the campaign, operation is a bad word, the campaign he started, or the politics that he set up has now reached its logical conclusion. So LK Advani actually will be quite happy and satisfied, go ask him. Because within his lifetime, his pupils Modi and Shah have redeemed his pledge. I'm sorry to be stealing this line from Nehru's Tryst with Destiny speech. They've redeemed his pledge, if not wholly or in full measure, but very substantially. So my apologies to Nehru fans, but this is the reality of today's politics, and this is what it looks like going ahead.